This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
You need to understand something about the news. You need to understand something about the news media. Everything that you see on your television, the news media, it's owned by the liberals. It's owned by God haters. It's owned by Bible deniers. It's owned by people that do not love truth. They do not believe God, and they do not believe the Bible. Everything you see that comes across the television, it is perpetrated and put through the filter of liberalism. So therefore, we do not always get the truth. We may get segments of the truth. We may get pieces of the truth, but we're not getting what has actually happened and the reason it is actually happening. That is the issue with what we deal with. The second thing is we now deal with an internet age, and now things just come across the internet and people believe everything that's on the internet. What you've got to understand is just because you read it on the internet doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. There is not a three-eyed baby with 14 ears and 14 different heads. I know that you've seen pictures of it, but it doesn't exist, all right? The internet has basically become the Guinness Book of World Records of who can believe what. It's absolutely crazy. But here is another issue with the things you read and see. A lot of times, what is really happening is not what you're really seeing. But if you really see what's really going on, brothers and sisters, listen to me. We would see very clearly that the Word of God is alive and well and real. You see, right now on the internet and on the TV, the major news lines are concerned with what is happening in Donald Trump's personal life. They won't tell us what's going on, what's really going on, because if they told us what was really going on and they got off of all of this mess on the side, they would show us about the looming war with Russia. We've got to understand what's really going on in our world. There is a brewing hodgepodge of problems that are happening all over this globe. Everywhere we turn, there are issues and problems, but there is none bigger than what is happening with what the Bible calls the Bear of the North, or a land called Magog. In the Bible, you'll read that word over and over. The word is Magog. It's the word for Russia. It is the land of Russia. Now, here is the question. We've all seen it. We've all watched it. We've all seen it on the news. We've seen whenever America decided to bomb the other day. You have seen this civil war that's going on inside of Syria. This is what you need to understand. Russia was not something that God dealt with by way of the people of Israel. They didn't have anything to do with Israel. They never fought against Israel. They never processed Israel. But the people in the land of Syria had very much so a lot to do with Israel. In fact, the city of Damascus is the oldest inhabited city on the face of the earth. It's older than Rome. It's older than Jerusalem. It is older than any other city that's been inhabited in the entire history of the world. And here we see in Syria, it all started back in 2011 with what was called the Arab Spring. You remember it started in Tunisia, then it spread to Libya, and then it spread all over. It went to Iran, it went to all different places, but it went to the nation of Syria. But in Syria, it never fully toppled the regime of Bashar al-Assad. They never were able, but it did start this great civil war. Now, I've got to give you this background, otherwise you're not going to understand what's going on. There's this great civil war that's going on in Syria. It is between the government of Bashar al-Assad and the rebels. It is between the people that are loyal to the government and the people that hate the government. For a long time, it was a war between Assad and ISIS. It was between these two factions, but in the last several years, ISIS has become a non-factor, and now you see Assad fighting rebels that want him overthrown. Several years ago, the Obama administration said this, that if the Assad regime uses chemical weapons, that is our red line in the sand. If he crosses that red line, we will intervene militarily. Well, he used chemical weapons and nothing happened. He let the red line be crossed. That's for another politician to debate another time. But here's what happened. The Civil War kept going and it kept brewing and it kept on. In walks a man whose name is Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump, who is now the president of the United States. Here's what he said. He said, if you use chemical weapons, we are going to bomb the place that you launched the chemical weapons from. And just within a few months of Trump coming into office, Assad used chemical weapons on people. And within just 2 days, it was just a few hours, President Trump launched an attack against the air base that they used to launch the weapons. And this is what they thought. What they thought was this. Trump said this, you can fight, we're not getting involved, but when you use those chemical weapons, that crosses the line. Here's what happened. What happened was somebody came out of the north. Whenever the president, the eagle decided that he would get involved, it awoke the bear of the north. All of a sudden, Russia says, wait a second, we've got to have this thing played fairly. And so Russia comes down to Syria. They've always been friends. Russia has three main friends in the Middle East. Don't ever forget this. They have Syria, they have Iran, and they have Egypt. Never forget those three nations. Russia will always have those people in their pocket, and I'm going to show you why in just a second. Now, whenever Russia comes down, they tell President Assad, they say, we will supply you with S-400 anti-aircraft missiles to make sure that no American missiles will fly on your places. And here's what the president said of America. He said, if you use chemical weapons again, there will be consequences. The other day, Bashar al-Assad, he launches a chemical weapon attack. Within moments of that attack, this is what Russia says. Russia says, do not touch them. Don't touch them. Now, here is the question that I ask. Why is Russia so involved with this little nation of Syria? That's the question you've got to ask. There's got to be a reason. Syria has no military power that they can offer to Russia. They have no natural resources that they can offer Russia. Syria doesn't have oil that they can offer Russia. They do not have gold they can offer Russia. They have nothing that they can offer Russia except one thing. You know what that is? It's access to the Mediterranean Sea. It's a warm water port. Now that's a military reason. Now bring it down to a spiritual level. Here's what you need to understand. We only see the surface of things. But do you understand in this world, according to 1 John 4:13, that the spirit of Antichrist is at work? That spirit of Antichrist is what's working beneath the surface. He's the one that's moving the pieces. And what's the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist doing? It's a demon. And this is what he's doing. That spirit of Antichrist is constantly aligning things up so that when his king, his prince, the Antichrist arises, everything will be in place. Every decision you see happening in the government, it is because of that spirit of Antichrist that is working. Every decision you see around the world, I promise you, at some juncture, it is being manipulated and worked by the spirit of Antichrist that is at work in the world. And I'll prove it to you tonight. People are afraid. People are scared. People are worried. And they're absolutely scared out of their mind. What's going to happen? The other night, my wife began to ask me. She said, Tyler, what is going on in Syria? Tell me, explain to me. And man, by the time I got done explaining it to her, she was just shaking over on the other side of the bed. She was scared out of her mind. And people are like that all over the world. They're scared out of their mind. What's happening? What's going to happen? Where's it going to come from? Here's what you got to understand, brothers and sisters. The Bible has the answer to everything that plagues us. The Word of God has the answer to every situation. They've got the answer. And so things like this don't catch God off guard. We just have to search the Scripture enough to know what's going on. God is still in control. Here's a factual statement, and you need to remember this. Either the whole Bible is true or none of it is true. If there is one fault or lie in one word of it, then none of it is the Bible. There cannot be half and half. It cannot be right on one side and wrong on the other side. It's either got to be all right or it's got to be all wrong. One reason why I have no doubt that the Bible is the Word of the living God. It's not just a book. It's not just a holy book. It is the only holy book in the world. For one reason, I believe that. I have a lot of reasons, but the main reason is this. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy that was written thousands of years ago. The Bible predicts through the prophecies and through the prophets that things would occur. Now watch this. I'm going to show you tonight, there is one prophecy that I'm going to talk about that when it was prophesied, the thing was not even in existence until 1970. And the exact thing that was prophesied 2,500 years ago is now among us. And it didn't happen until 1974. I'm going to show you that. And the fact that the Bible prophecies come true gives me no doubt in my heart that the Bible is the Word of the living God. I'll give you three prophecies tonight. And every single one of them are coming true before your eyes, and some have already come true. So let me ask a couple of questions tonight. I'll ask and answer several questions. Let me ask, first of all, is Syria mentioned in Bible prophecy? Look there at Isaiah 17 and verse number 1. Isaiah 17 and verse number 1. The burden of Damascus. That word burden, it means the oracle or the saying. The burden concerning Damascus. Stop. What is Damascus? It is the capital of Syria. So here's what Isaiah says. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a what? Ruinous heap. Here's the point. At no time in history, remember what I said, Damascus is the oldest inhabited city in the entire world. It has never had a time that in ancient history could be said that it was a ruinous heap. But ladies and gentlemen, where are all of the missiles of the world being pointed to today? Damascus. Damascus. Now, is Damascus a ruinous heap today? No. The buildings are being bombed. But that word ruinous, it means to be leveled flat and uninhabitable. Up until 1950, 1948, 1946, somewhere in that, what was invented and brought into existence in the mid-1940s that could level a city and make it uninhabitable? An atomic bomb. Now watch this. You now have a king, a president, launching chemical weapons. You have a hodgepodge of problems right now. Are we not starting to see that there very well could be something that occurs that would make this city a ruinous heap? And here's what we've got to understand. Things are so... In the years past, if anybody ever thought about leveling an atomic bomb against Damascus, we would all say they've lost their mind. But today, you've got a madman launching chemical weapons. And we're all sitting back saying, well, if it saves lives. Because our minds are turning. Remember, God is at work. Now watch this. It goes further. Look at verse number 3. Look at verse 3. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim. And the kingdom from where? Damascus. The kingdom is what? It's the empire, the authority, the person's there. Whatever happens in verse 1 does so much damage that the kingdom that is in charge there is done away with. What could be launched against a city that could level it, level the kingdom there, and then it says the fortress shall cease from Ephraim. Ephraim was in the northern heights of Israel. Do you know what's in the northern heights of Israel? It's a little place called the Golan Heights. And in the Golan Heights, that's the border with Syria. What could be launched that would ruin Damascus, eliminate a king, and something could float south into an area around Ephraim that the fortresses there would be an atomic bomb? Now here's the question. Is Syria mentioned in the Bible? Oh, Syria is mentioned in the Bible. Now I'm going to answer the question of when all this happens in just a minute. Now here's the second question. Why is Russia so concerned and connected to Syria? Why is Russia so connected and concerned with Syria? Well, the military reason is what? They want the warm water seaport. I want to show you a map of the Middle East. I want you to look at this map. You see Russia, and there in the green, right below Russia, you see where Russia comes down past Ukraine? You see that? Do you remember what Russia took from Ukraine not long ago? The area known as the Crimea? That is in there in the Black Sea. There's a little part of Ukraine that sticks out into the Black Sea. That's what they took. But if you come down just below and you can barely see it, there's a little green speckle. It is the nation of Georgia. Do you remember what Russia did just a few years ago? They invaded Georgia. Why would they invade Georgia? I'll tell you why. They're trying to control that region around the Black Sea. Now keep marching south. After you get through Georgia, where do you have to get through? You go into the nation of what? Turkey. Now, here's the problem. Turkey is a member of NATO, which is an adversary of Russia. Am I right about it? Right. I'll show you that in a minute. When you go right below Turkey, what's right below Turkey? The nation of Syria. Do you see what Syria has? It has a border with the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean is that big body of water right there. And here's what Russia knows. If they own Syria, they have warm water ports to launch their navy from. Now remember, that's the military reason. But remember what I said is always at work in the world? The spirit of Antichrist. What would the spirit of Antichrist possibly want with the nation of Syria? It's called the march to the war of Gog and Magog. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Ezekiel, just a few books over. Ezekiel chapter number 20, Ezekiel 38. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 38. Now keep that map up there, Heather. I want you to keep that map up there. Now watch this. Are you ready for something? I want to show you something after you get to Ezekiel 38. There is something that news media never talks about, never reports. Do you see what surrounds? Now, you can barely see little Israel. You all pretty much know where Israel is on that map, right? You all know where it is. If you could point to it, it's almost dead center of the map right to the right. It's right below Syria to the left of Jordan. All right? You see where Israel is? Now, I want you to watch something. In Islam, when you study Islam, Islam has a symbol. Their symbol is the crescent moon. Now, I want you to watch something. Now, watch me. I want you to go around with me on these nations, and I want to show you something. What religion is Libya? Muslim. What religion is Egypt? Muslim. What religion is Saudi Arabia? Muslim. What religion is Jordan? Muslim. What religion is Iraq? Muslim. What religion is Iran? Muslim. What religion is Turkey? Muslim. Israel is surrounded by every one of those Muslim countries. I want you to watch something. Do you remember what I told you the symbol of Islam was? It was a crescent moon. If I start a crescent moon at Libya and work it all the way around to Turkey, watch what it makes. Now watch this. Are you ready? If you will look on the flags of some of these Muslim nations, this is what their flag looks like. This is the flag of Pakistan. It's a crescent moon with a star in it. Are you with me? It's a crescent moon with a star. Do you know where that comes from? That actually comes from Greece, long about the mid-first millennia. What that is at one time, that was the symbol of the Christian church. The star symbolized the light of the world. The star symbolized the nation of Israel. What is on the national flag of Israel? The Star of David. The star symbolized the Lord Jesus or the land of Israel or the things of God. Now, if you study Islam, do you know what God, long before Allah was ever the God of Islam, do you know what God he was? He was the idol god of the moon. They don't talk about that in school. He was the idol god of the moon. And when that was a Christian flag, the star was two times as big as the moon was. The point was, the ways of God will always overshadow the ways of the world. The Ottoman Empire comes into existence. In about 382 AD, the Ottoman Empire begins to take over, and they began to run, in about 780, the Muslims become, they come in and they begin to take over. And here's what happens. The Muslims take the symbol of Christianity, the star of God and the moon of Allah, or the moon of the moon god, and they begin to increase the size of the moon and shrink the size of the star. And this is what they're saying. It will not be long before Islam swallows the things of God. We don't talk about that. We're being lied to. They say it's a religion of peace. No, it's a religion of conquering. Now go back to that with the crescent moon. Where is Israel in that moon? It's right where the star would be. What is the spirit of Antichrist doing? Trying to stamp out the nation of Israel. Now watch this. Are you in Ezekiel chapter number 38? What does this have to do then with the war of Gog and Magog? What is the war of Gog and Magog? Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about a prophecy against Gog. I will not read the whole thing, but I want to read to you just two verses. Verse number 1, verse number 2. Let's go down to verse number 4. Ezekiel 38, verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee. How would you like for God to say that to you? I am against thee. Let's look at verse number 4. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army and horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, and all of them with sword and helmet. Verse 6, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah. Now watch this. What is this? What this is this is a war where the nations of the world seize little Israel. It's called the War of Gog and Magog. Here's what Magog means. Magog was a son of Noah. He was a son of one of Noah's sons, Japheth. And he settled in the land called Russia. I've got a list of the nations here so that you can write them down. Let me show you the list of the nations that are mentioned here. And I want to show you something. You have, first of all, Magog. Magog is the land of Russia. Gog is the ruler of Magog. Who would that be? That would be the president of Russia. All right? So Gog is the president or the ruler of Russia. You have Meshech. You have a place called Tubal. You have a place called Ethiopia. You have a place called Persia. And you have a place called Libya. Let me walk through you. Magog is the land of Russia. Persia is the land of Iran. Now let me give you an interesting little study on that word. Do you know when Persia ceased to be called Persia? It has been called Persia for over 2,000 years. Persia. Even longer than that, frankly speaking. Do you know when it changed names? It changed names after the rebellion when the Shah of Iran was kicked out and the Ayatollah took over. Do you know what Iran means? Iran is the Farsi word which means Aryan. Do you remember what Aryan was? It was the race that Hitler said would take over the Jews. Do you know what the Iranians put themselves with? The doctrine of Hitler, taking over the Jews, destroying the Jews. You understand, these are not peaceful countries that you make peace pacts with. These are not peaceful countries that are going to sit down at a table with us and eat cotton candy. These are people that want the destruction of the nation of Israel. And finally the day comes when these nations, Ethiopia is what today, that nation is what today we call Sudan. Sudan is a reckless place full of Islamic doctrine. Then you've got the nation of Libya, which was overthrown by Muammar Gaddafi, fell several years ago, and now it's just a hodgepodge of ISIS and other things. And then you've got a place called Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma. Meshech is in there as well. But you've got Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma. That is today what is the nation of Turkey. Now, I want you to watch something. Remember what I said? Turkey is a member of NATO, the North American Treaty Organization, Northern Alliance Treaty Organization. They're a member of that. I want you to look at an article that I found the other day in the news. Turkey is getting ever closer with Russia. Do you see the man in the middle? His name is Recep Erdogan. He's the president of Turkey. Do you know who the man to your right is? That's Vladimir Putin. Who's he the president of? Russia. Do you know who the man to the left is? The man to the left is the prime minister of Iran. And who is the president of Turkey shaking hands with? Not the Americans. He's shaking hands with the nations that are mentioned at the Gog Magog War. Up until about 3 years ago, that would have never happened. Now watch this. Here's what happens. What happens at the War of Gog and Magog, Heather, put the Middle East map back up. All right, take the crescent moon off. What happens is Russia comes down through Georgia, the little green speck. Now Turkey's an ally with them here in this chapter, and we can see where very soon they will be. And they march through Turkey. Why would they need Syria? Why is the Antichrist spirit working so hard to keep Syria? Look at where they've got to go through in order to get to Israel. They've got to go right through where? Syria, Turkey, into Israel. The Bible tells us that when the Gog leader gets down there, that God miraculously delivers. God miraculously destroys the nations, destroys the armies. I can go into that prophecy a little bit later, and I can tell you all about that. But God sends a miraculous destruction, and all of a sudden, in one day, Israel goes from being surrounded to all of these nations, now done, destroyed. Now, I want you to watch something. So you understand why the spirit of Antichrist, Russia wants Syria so bad. Why would they fight? You don't fight for nations that can't help you unless there's something working deeper beneath the surface. Now here's the question I've got. When you look at that map, Libya, and follow that crescent moon all around up to Turkey, every one of those, but there's one big nation that's always hated Israel ever since the days of Moses that doesn't fight and isn't mentioned in this chapter. What is that nation? The nation of Egypt. Here's a question I've got. Where is Egypt in the war of Gog and Magog? And why aren't they mentioned? Now for that, I want you to go backward to Ezekiel 29. Ezekiel 29. Are the people still with me online? They hadn't checked out on me. All right. Ezekiel 29. I want to show you something. All right. Ezekiel 29, the Bible, if you've got a heading above your Bible, this is what it says. The prophecy against who? Egypt. All right. The prophecy against Egypt. Now, Ezekiel's an interesting book. Isaiah's all over the place when it comes to timelines, but Ezekiel follows a very loose timeline. So basically, chapter 29 in prophecy happens before chapter number 38. It's a little loose, but it does happen like that. Now here, I want you to watch something. In chapter number 29, there is a prophecy against Egypt. Here's my question. Where is Egypt at the battle of Gog and Magog? They're destroyed. They're not there. They're not in existence anymore. I want to show you something. Verse number 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee and cut off man and beast out of thee. Mark that down. God is going to judge Israel so much so that man and what? Beast are done. Verse number 9. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste. They shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Now that's interesting to me. What river would Egypt be talking about? It's the river Nile. Why would Egypt boast that they created the river unless they had done something to the river? Let's keep looking. Verse number 10. Behold, therefore, I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate. Do you see that? Utterly waste and desolate. From the Tower of Syene unto the border of Ethiopia. You got me? God said, I'm going to destroy you so much that I'm going to ruin your land. No one, no animal, or no person will dwell in the land of Egypt. Now, here's what you got to understand. It says in verse number 11 of this same chapter, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited for how many years? There's never been a time like that in the history of Egypt. There's never been a time where for 40 years it has not been inhabited. Now watch this. Egypt did not make the Nile. You with me? Egypt cannot boast about making the Nile, but Egypt's always had a problem with the Nile. Here was the problem that Egypt had with the Nile. Every single year, like clockwork, they had a flood season. And the banks of the Nile would overflow. And it would do a good thing because it would fertilize the land so much. They would have bumper crops year in and year out, but they could never build because it would always flood. 1970, the Soviet Union comes along. And the Soviet Union, they put a project to Egypt and they say, this is what we can do. We can build a dam. It's called the Lo Dam. We'll build a Lo Dam. And when we build that Lo Dam, we'll be able to control and we'll begin to be able to have to the process of controlling the flooding of the Nile River. 1974. The Soviet Union completed what is called the Aswan High Dam. And here's what it looks like. It is one of the longest dams in the entire world. There's only one or two other dams that are bigger than this dam. Listen to the size of this dam. This dam is 12,570 feet long. It is 364 feet tall. It is 3,000 feet wide at the base. It is a massive dam. Now, let me put it in perspective. It's a hydroelectric dam. It puts out twice the power of the Hoover Dam. It is a massive dam. What they did, behind it is Lake Nasser. And they control the river. And now Egypt boasts, I have control of the river. Now watch this. Are you ready? Do you know what Syene and Aswan have in common? They come from the exact same word. Syene is the word Aswan. Whenever Ezekiel said in verse number 10, the Tower of Syene, he was talking about this location. But let's go a step further. Do you remember what I said about Ezekiel? Remember what I said about Bible prophecy? One thing about Bible prophecy you'll find is that they prophesy against things that could never fall. But here in Ezekiel, the Tower of Syene in verse number 10, the Tower of Syene, when Ezekiel wrote about it, there was no such thing as a Tower of Syene. It didn't exist. It did not exist. Now, here's what you need to understand about this prophecy against Egypt. Are you ready? Okay? If you're ready, nod at me. Okay. Number one, this destruction against Egypt is so bad, according to verse 5, that the fish will be thrown into the wilderness. Fish, verse 5, look at it. And I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy river. Do you see that? Something so catastrophic happens to Egypt that fish actually lay in the wilderness and die. Men lay in the wilderness and die. So that's the first thing about the destruction of Egypt. Number two, according to verse 10, the destruction of Egypt starts at the Tower of Siene. It begins at Aswan. What could throw a fish and people clear out into the desert? Maybe if a dam broke. What if a dam broke? Could that not throw fish out into the wilderness? Now it goes a step further in verse number 11 and verse number 12. The destruction of this, it is so devastating that it begins at the Tower of Siene. It throws fish into the wilderness, and the land is uninhabitable for 40 years. You ready? Remember, did you hear what I said? Oh, yeah. Just so we're not mistaken, you realize on top of the Aswan Dam, there is actually a tower called the Tower of Siene, and this is what it looks like. It's a five-petaled locust because a locust grows upon the banks of the Nile. A lot of people believe that stands for the five pillars of Islam. You'll never believe where that sits. Right on top of the Aswan Dam. And it did not exist. The Tower of Siene has never existed until 1974. And guess who built it? The Russians. Now remember, go back to the prophecy. The prophecy says that something happens so catastrophic that it throws fish and man into the wilderness. Number two, it begins right here at the Aswan Dam, the Tower of Siene. And number three, it ruins the land for 40 years. Oh yeah. Military planners in Israel are absolutely the best at pre-planning. You realize this dam is so thick, whenever they built it, Israel's commanders and generals, they sat down together. This is what they said. They said, we are beginning to be encircled with all of these Muslim nations. What are we going to do one day if they decide to invade us? And the military leaders began to lay out plans. You know what they said? They said, we can't bomb all of Egypt. We can't destroy all of Egypt. And one of the generals spoke up. And this is what he said. He said, but we could flood Egypt. Remember, which way does the Nile run? It does not run north to south. It runs south to north. This is what he said. He said, we could blow up the Aswan Dam and it would flood. One of the men stood up and this is what he said. He said this. He said, the only way to blow it up is with a nuclear bomb. It's so thick. Now remember, nuclear bomb goes off. It emits what's called radioactive waste. You ready? What would happen when that dam would blow by a nuclear bomb? It would spew forth trillions of gallons of radioactive water. Oh yeah. Roughly how long does it take for the radioactive material to get out of the soil? Roughly 40 years. Why isn't Egypt a part of the war of Gog and Magog? Because they're desolated. Where are they? They're in the wilderness dead. Now here's the question. Why would Israel ever want to blow up the Aswan Dam? Let's ask common sense questions. As long as they've got America, they don't have to worry about anything. We fight with them. We stand by them. And by the way, the moment we ever turn our back on Israel, it is over in America. I do believe that the one reason America has not been destroyed over this homosexual marriage thing is because of our alliance and allegiance to the land of Israel. But I promise you this, we ever turn our back on them, God will wipe the face of the earth with the American people. We will be done, we will be through, and we will be gone. As long as they've got America, they don't ever have to worry about fighting. But what if America's gone? There's a couple of things that could happen to America. Number one, there could be a nuclear attack on America. But you got to understand, the only people that would send nuclear bombs to America is who? Russia. What would happen if Russia launched bombs against us? It's called the MAD doctrine, the mutually assured destruction. They launch 5 at us, we launch 15 at them. They launch 30 at us, we'll launch 100 at them. So if America is nuked, guess what we're going to do before we go up in flames? We're going to nuke them and destroy them. But Russia can't be destroyed because Russia's in the war of Gog and Magog. America could collapse, could we not? Well, sure we could. $21 trillion worth of debt, we could go down. But I promise you this, our military won't go down like that quickly. There's another event that could take place that would absolutely decimate the American land. It's called the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. What would happen? Let's just say that there are 5 million Christians in America. I believe there's far more. But those 5 million Christians, they are businessmen, they are bankers, they are farmers, they're truck drivers, they're airplane pilots, they are their mothers, they're teachers, they're doctors. Imagine 5 million. You see the panic that happened when 3,000 died in the World Trade Center. Imagine millions of people all of a sudden vanishing and cars going everywhere. It would take, and look at all the people in the military that are believers in Jesus Christ. What if the rapture of the church happened? All of a sudden, America is done. And guess what happens to Israel? They're all by themselves. You know what they would begin to do? They would begin to say, we've got to get them before they get us. We can take out Egypt. We'll blow the Aswan Dam. Wait a second. Didn't I say that Russia comes out of the war, comes out of the north to take over? What could possibly happen that would make Russia mad enough to march against them with an ally of other Muslim nations? I wonder if attacking a nation with a nuclear bomb and blowing their dam up would be enough to anger the bear of the north. I believe it would. Ladies and gentlemen, what you've got to understand, God's not a dummy. He prophesied this stuff 2,500 years before it even came into being. Here's the little three lessons you need to take away from all of this. When does all of this happen? I believe it is my firm conviction that every one of these things happens right after the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about that in a few weeks, but I believe that the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ, here's the whole point of everything. If all of these things are already in play and they could happen at any moment, how much closer are we to the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ? Let me give you a little illustration of that. How many of you know at about October time, you go into the stores and they've already got the Christmas ornaments and they've already got the Christmas trees and they've already got the tinsel and they got everything. And you know what you're thinking? You're thinking, man, Christmas is coming up. You know, they never decorate for Thanksgiving. Nobody ever decorates for Thanksgiving. But here's the point. If in October you're close to Christmas, how much closer are you to Thanksgiving? That's what the rapture's like. The rapture, all of this stuff is getting played up for what's going to happen during the tribulation. All of this stuff is coming into play and coming to pass and getting ready for everything that's going to happen after the rapture. How much closer are we to the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ? Here's my takeaways. Number one, it's what you need to write down. The Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of the living God. This is not some ancient relic that a bunch of guys sat down and smoked a bunch of incense and put together. Are you telling me that some man by the river Kibar, whose name was Ezekiel, that had no education, that had nothing in his mind, he said, you know what? I think one day I'll pull out of the air a tower. And I think I'll call that tower the Tower of Sion. I know there's never been a Tower of Sion, and I don't even know what Sion means, but I think I'll call it the Tower. No. Aswan, the Sion, that word, that's out in the middle of nowhere. If a man's going to come up with a tower, he's going to build it in Alexandria. He's going to build it in Cairo. He's going to build it not in the middle of the wilderness, but this man says, you know what? God told me to say that the Tower of Sion would be the beginning of this, and it never came into pass. And then all of a sudden, one day, a bunch of Soviet God deniers decided they were going to build a dam at Aswan, and they were going to put a tower on top of it, and they weren't going to call it the Tower of Aswan. They were going to call it the Tower of Sion. But I guess God just a fluke, isn't he? Come on, folks. God wrote this book. This is written by the finger of Almighty God. Number two, it shows me that God is sovereign. Things don't just happen. God makes them happen. Things don't just occur. God makes them occur. Accidents don't just happen. God is in the process of working and moving. Our God is in control. That takes out of my life everything that says oops, everything I don't understand. It's not just some razzle-dazzle formula that just happens. No, God is in control, and God is working all things together. God is right, and God is sovereign. Number three, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to talk about it. I just say this. All of that stuff that's going to happen after Jesus comes, it's already transpiring. How much closer are we to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when the battles come and the wars come and all of this stuff comes, don't ever just think it's nothing. No. God is working everything for His good. Now, this shows you how much in control God is. You ready for this? And I'm done. I'm through. I'm going home, and so are you, and hoping the tornado don't take us. Here's how much so God is in control. If the devil, the demon of Antichrist, don't you think he would do everything in his power to make sure God's word didn't come to pass? He would do everything. But even the demons and the devils of hell are puppet stringed by God. That's how much power God's got. That's how much control God's got. God's in control. Jesus is coming back. That's Russia, Syria, and the coming war of Gog and Magog.